Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I thought that I would be a mess, but he was the one crying, and I was the one who had to comfort him. Before he walked me down the aisle, he turned to me and said that he would always be my best friend. All these years later, Dad, you are still my best friend.
That was Ashley, Joe Biden's daughter, introducing him, and I thought she was very compelling. The only thing about her that I would say this is she did a very good job of portraying him as a wonderful dad. And I have no doubt. I don't have a doubt that he was a good dad and is a good husband and, you know, married to Jill now for nearly 50 years. That's never been a question. What I did think was odd is praising him, touting him as this wonderful, fantastic man and parent and husband. And the more you praise him for those things, the more you kind of raise the question of, but why aren't you having him again? And I don't know. There's something about that. But no, I thought actually, you know, her talking about him was great. And I don't have any doubt about those things. You know, I'm sure he's a very good father. And, you know, and as she called him a girl dad, you know, she called him. And I thought that was good. It felt a little bit echoey derivative because you had the granddaughter of Trump who did such a great job praising him at the RNC. But I mean, it's not like, well, one person's, you know, child praises them and therefore you can't have another child. It'd be unfair to say that. So anyway, that was in the convention last night. I didn't want to just throw this on you without giving you a little bit of warm up because I know, you know, you might be driving around, you might have kids in the car. It's a little early for that, but maybe you do. But one of the main subjects last night was on what they would call reproductive rights, what I would call abortion. And, you know, that was a major push last night, was on this particular subject. And it's really a weird push, but it was leaning heavily on, you know, Trump wants to wipe out abortion rights in America, which is false. You know, I may want to get rid of abortion in America, but he doesn't, okay? And he's the one driving the party, and he's the one who's written the platform completely in his image. But they brought out some very compelling stories of life of the mother or exception-type cases. I didn't catch names here, and I apologize. They had them up on the screen very briefly, and I can't tell you what they were, but it doesn't particularly matter. Here you had a case where the woman was pregnant, and things were going very badly for the pregnancy, and it was kind of she was getting extraordinarily sick, and it was a save her or save neither of them kind of worry.
When you're expecting a baby, packing for the hospital should be a joyful moment. For us, it was different. We were told with 100% certainty we would lose our baby girl, Willow, and we were sent home. For 3 days, we waited until Amanda was sick enough to receive standard abortion care. Eventually, Amanda's temperature spiked. She was shaking, disoriented, and crashing. I don't remember what I threw into our bag that day, only that instead of welcoming Willow, I was hoping Amanda's life could be saved.
And they had kind of opened a video featuring them talking about the loss of their daughter in utero. And it's heartbreaking. It is. It's heartbreaking. And to think about that situation where you're faced with this choice between having an abortion for a child that's non-viable, that's causing the mother to be risking her life, versus, you know, the risk of losing both of them, right? That's a horrible, awful choice. And this is why, and he ended this sequence by saying,
I'm here tonight because the fight for reproductive rights isn't just a woman's fight. This is about fighting for our families. And as Kamala Harris says, our future.
Okay. I don't disagree with this case at all. I am pro-life, but the life of the mother, because the basic calculus is this. If you've got a life-threatening situation with a pregnancy, like let's say an ectopic pregnancy, and it's either you lose them both or you choose to lose one, that's one life versus two. That's just standard triage. You know, that's a utilitarian calculus. Now, I know there are some people who are pro-life and say you should never engage in abortion because, you know, only God should decide life and death, and God works miracles, and that's true, okay? But at the same time, I think there are cases where you know. I think there are cases where you can say, and if it's save both, if it's save one or save neither, you know, lose one or lose both, that's not hard to me. And most pro-lifers agree with that. There are some who don't, but most do. So if their case is we need to have abortion access because of life of the mother cases, well, that's not persuasive to anybody because we agree about that. And that certainly doesn't justify abortion on demand for any reason at any stage of pregnancy, even for healthy pregnancies, which is the vast majority of pregnancies. Healthy pregnancies. So you can't hang the argument of protect abortion on demand at any stage for healthy pregnancies too on the hook of arguing that in this rare life versus two life exception, especially because we agree with that exception, or most of us do anyway. I'll come back to this in a second because this subject, this was a major push yesterday, and it was a great example of what I would describe as a straw man slash slippery slope kind of argumentation. But we'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens is back in Pensacola with our traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. But if you're at the intersection of 9 Mile and Highway 29, both east, west, north, and south, just generally that intersection, it's going to be very busy, and I'm seeing about a five-minute delay there. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. I appreciate that. So back to the discussion about abortion access last night at the DNC. They then brought on a woman who, a black lady, her husband wasn't there. I'm not quite sure why. It would have seemed more powerful to me if he had been there. But here was her telling her story of pregnant with her second child.
I was getting ready for her fourth birthday party when something didn't feel right. Two emergency rooms sent me away. Because of Louisiana's abortion ban, no one would confirm that I was miscarrying. I was in pain, bleeding so much my husband feared for my life.
And again, needing to get, I don't remember if she had an abortion eventually or if it just she miscarried or what, but again, that's a case where we agree. And that's a case where you look at the Louisiana implementation of their ban and you say, okay, we need to fix this because therapeutic abortion for genuinely life-saving purposes is perfectly fine for most pro-lifers and certainly fine for President Trump. I mean, he is no doubt on that as an exception. But that doesn't then turn into a justification for a blanket acceptance or, again, abortion on demand for any reason at any stage of pregnancy, even including for healthy pregnancies, right? That's a completely different question. Then we had the other one. And this is, listen, I'm just telling you, on a Tuesday morning, this is hard to hear and hard to think about. But it was what they did last night, and it is an important slice of this conversation for people to think about. They brought on a woman who was, it's kind of, I think she's in her young 20s, okay? And I'm going to kind of let her speak for herself, but I just want you to know this is hard stuff, okay? This is really, really hard stuff to hear. But we want to talk about this a little bit.
Growing up, I was an all-American girl. Varsity soccer captain, cheerleading captain, homecoming queen, and survivor.
Survivor of sexual assault, rape, okay? Which she went on to explain, and in this case, it's the worst possible kind. It's by her stepfather, okay? So this is horrid, terrible stuff.
I was raped by my stepfather after years of sexual abuse. At age 12, I took my first pregnancy test, and it was positive. That was the first time I was ever told, you have options.
So when you talk in the theoretical, the abstract about rape, incest, and life of the mother, here you have rape and incest at an incredibly young age. I mean, this is, as I said, this is the hardest of the cases, okay?
I can't imagine not having a choice. But today, that's the reality for many women and girls across the country because of Donald Trump's abortion bans. He calls it a beautiful thing. What is so beautiful about a child having to carry her parents' child?
So there's no way to talk about this that's not going to be hard. First of all, President Trump did not make the policies, okay? He put the people on the Supreme Court who correctly interpreted the Constitution and then made it possible for state governments to set their own abortion standards, right? But put that aside. Trump made it possible by Supreme Court appointments, okay? And I've said he gets a lot of credit for that. What pro-lifers would say is, yes, that's horrible. You were the victim of an awful crime. But if it is a life, it is not less a life because it was made in a horrible way, any more than people who were the product of rape or even incest and were delivered and grew up are not human or are less than human or lesser humans because of where they came from. There's a, you know, historically there have been pro-lifers who were themselves the survivors of abortion and were the product of rape, and we'll talk about how grateful they are that their parents came to term, that her mom allowed her to come to term, or that, you know, she survived what the doctors tried to do. And that's the real question is, whatever the source, evil though it was, of that life in the womb, is it life or is it not life? Now that on the one side is the sort of the theoretical, philosophical discussion about what's the right way to treat a woman who is pregnant as a result of rape or incest. Here's the other side. Trump is completely on her side. Again, the position of the GOP and of many, many, many pro-lifers, not all, but many, is to allow for the exception in terms of the life of the mother or rape or incest. And many of the laws are written that way. And so if the Democrats think that by focusing on these exceptions that many pro-lifers and particularly President Trump agrees with, this doesn't translate into broad justification for abortion on demand for any reason at any stage of pregnancy, including for healthy pregnancies. That's where this is, on the one hand, a very emotional and very, oh, these evil, horrible, terrible people, do you see what they want to do to women? Well, no, we don't. Not many of us, and even those of us who raise thoughtful questions about what to do in this hard case, that's a much more interesting and frustrating and challenging situation, but it's one you ought to at least have a conversation about. But to turn that into an argument for abortion on demand, I mean, that's ridiculous, especially when the nominee of the party doesn't even hold this view. 437-1620, 437-1620. Bobby, you look like you wanted to say something about all that. But
I've often said, you know, obviously everybody's heart breaks for this young girl.
Absolutely.
And as much as you do, it's an advocacy for more mental health support for situations like that, I believe, and more even community support, family support for situations like that. Not if something horrible happens to you, you have the right to kill. Because that's what it comes down to, okay? If somebody comes into your house and rapes you as an adult, do you have the right to go next door and shoot your neighbor's kid? Of course not. Nobody would support that. But that's where the difference is. For the people who are pro-life versus pro-choice, there's a difference of, is it really a life?
That's
or
right.
is it just
that's
a clump
right.
of cells?
That's exactly right. And that is, you know, that is a philosophical, ethical, religious discussion that we ought to have. And we should have, but this way of presenting it is
yes.
so
You're it's right. it, and it's, especially because they're lying about Trump too, saying
right because it's commingled with the misrepresentation of the issue itself and of the person who is their political opponent that it's hard for me to take. I mean, and you can hear from the way I'm talking about this, I do take these cases very seriously, but just tell the truth. tell the truth. Always tell the truth. And there's so little truth-telling, even as they're fact-telling, that it's very frustrating to listen to. 437-1620. We got John Pickens is back in Pensacola. We are in Chicago for the DNC. That's Bobby Rossi, and I'm Andrew McKay. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
So I always say that Frontier Motors has been serving the Pensacola community. And if you didn't know me, you might think I just use words lightly, but I really don't. I mean, as a philosopher, I use words very deliberately and mean the words that I use. And so when I say they serve, I mean that. For example, if you go to Frontier, when you look at a car, you're going to get a price sheet and you're going to get a Carfax. And a Carfax is a great resource. It's not the end-all, be-all of everything about the maintenance and service history for the car, because it kind of depends on voluntary reporting. That's why I recommend you get a good used vehicle inspection from a mechanic you trust. But you get it from Frontier, but if you don't go to Frontier, like you go to, you know, Jim Bob's corner lot somewhere, and you're going to buy a car, and they don't give you a Carfax, or like off of, you know, Facebook Marketplace or something, no problem. Take the VIN, give it to Frontier. Frontier will run a Carfax for you for free. Why? Because they can. Because it helps. Because it's nice. Because it's being a good neighbor. Because why not? And so when I say that they have been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, I mean that.
I said 4 years ago we needed to build schools. We haven't built a school since 2006. In the last 4 years, we've built East Bay K-8, Wallace Lake K-8, and Soundside High School, which will be ready within the year. We've done a lot in the last 4 years. We still have a lot to do. I ask you, when you go to the polls, vote Charles Elliott School Board District 4. Let us continue the work that needs to be done. Thank you, and may God bless you, is my prayer.
Paid and approved by Charles Elliott for Santa Rosa School Board, District 4.
Wade Men's Health exists for guys who get it done. Let's talk, fellas. You solve problems all day at work. You fix your sink when it's broken. But when it comes to ED and low T, it doesn't get done. We get it. You hate going to the doctor, but you're the guy that fixes things. At Wade Men's Health, there's nothing to fear and no reason to delay. We've been destroying bedroom boredom for years. Our friendly, discreet team of urologists and providers will take the time to listen. So if you haven't fixed this, call us. When the pills fail, call us. If you feel like you've tried everything, call us. Here, there's hope, from the conventional to the next level. Imagine finally taking care of this with no surgery. Imagine going from feeling gray to living life in vibrant color. It's time to be confident. Join the thousands of guys who have found success after walking through our doors. Will you be one of them? Dial 850-266-7020 or go to WaveMensHealth.com to schedule a $99 male performance consultation, including blood work. Do it for you. Do it for her. WaveMensHealth.com. Book your appointment now.
My grandfather taught me, if you give a small man a little bit of power, you have a big problem. Well, District 1, Escambia County, you have a big problem. District 1 has a commissioner who helped authorize a retirement plan for other commissioners that was outrageously expensive and stopped by a lawsuit. It is time to get decisions out of back rooms. It's time for a change. Vote Steve Stroberger on August 20th.
Paid political advertisement by Steve Stroberger, Republican for County Commissioner, District 1.
No matter how you listen, you can rely on News Radio Pensacola to keep you informed and safe when storms strike. You can listen on our mobile app.
.6:30 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay in Chicago for the DNC. We got a real quick time for about a 15-second headline from David in the newsroom. David?
Some of the biggest names in country music joining the Nashville Songwriters Hall of Fame. David Bellamy, Dan Penn, Al Anderson, Liz Rose, Victoria Shaw. They'll all be inducted this year. The ceremony planned November 5th.
News. I'm Chris Foster. President Biden gets and gives thanks during his opening night speech at the Democratic National Convention.
It's been the honor of my lifetime to serve as your president. I love the job, but I love my country more.
And he rallied the crowd for Vice President Kamala Harris. She made a brief surprise appearance on stage.
Joe, thank you for your historic leadership, for your lifetime of service to our nation, and for all you will continue to do. We are forever grateful to you.
Former President Trump campaigning in York, Pennsylvania.
If Kamala gets in, the United States will rapidly become a deindustrialized third world nation.
He'll speak in Michigan today, North Carolina tomorrow, then Arizona and Nevada. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is 73 degrees right now. An absolutely beautiful morning with sunny skies here in Pensacola today. Officials in Alabama say they're cracking down on illegal gambling. They apparently busted five illegal gambling locations in Selma, just near Montgomery last week. The five locations reportedly had slot machines and other illegal gambling ongoing. Officials say Alabama law is clear that gambling is illegal. Those locations were violating the law. The illicit gambling locations included convenience stores, a few bingo halls, and a former grocery store. It is primary election day in Florida. Polls open here in about a half an hour at 7 a.m. They'll be open until 7 p.m. When you do head to the polls, again, you'll need a valid ID. And if you had picked up a mail-in ballot previously to fill out, you can either submit that at, in person at the Supervisor of Elections office or Dropbox, but it is too late to put that in the mail. You can find your polling location online at escambiavotes.gov for Escambia County or votesantarosa.gov in Santa Rosa County. Some of the key races, of course, include Congressman Matt Gaetz and Aaron Dimmick for the District 1 U.S. House seat in Escambia County. Several key races, including a few county commission seats, District 1, pitting Commissioner Jeff Bergosh against Steve Stroberger and Jesse Casey. Those three candidates also vying for the District 4 county commissioner seat, Ashley Hoffberger, Buck Mitchell, Walker Wilson. The winner of that race taking on Democrat candidate Ron Helms in November. A few school board seats up for the primary as well. District 4 candidates hoping to replace outgoing board member Patty Hightower include Earl McCauley, Brian Rinelli, Carissa Bergosh, and Rich Holschneck. In District 5, three candidates hoping to replace Bill Slayton, Thomas Harrell, Jim Taylor, and Joshua Luther. Several Santa Rosa County races as well. District 1 Commissioner Sam Parker facing three challengers for his seat. Bobby Burkett, Aaron Williams, Roller Ayers. District 3 Commissioner James Calkins facing two challengers, Rhett Rowell and Jerry Cooey. District 5 Commissioner Colton Wright also up facing a challenge by Michael Priest. Some school board races in Santa Rosa County as well. Again, if you need to find your polling location, you can check out the website in Santa Rosa County, votesantarosa.gov, and Escambia, escambiavotes.gov. Escambia County does have a new EMS chief beginning the job this week. Chief Chris Watts coming in with a good resume, too. He served as a relief paramedic in Escambia County EMS, also serving as a flight paramedic since 2022, and was a paramedic in Mobile. Watts was also an operations manager in Michigan, overseeing ambulance operations there for 13 counties and over 1,000 employees. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. John Pickens, what are you seeing?
Well, not much right now. No accidents to let you know about. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. Seeing some delays if you're trying to go from Milton to East Milton. You're just seeing some volume delays there. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today with plenty of sunshine. Temperatures near 93 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 71. For Wednesday, plenty of sunshine with a high near 93. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 73. Keeping a rain chance on your Thursday with a 50% chance of rain, high near 90. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Right now we do have 75 degrees in Pensacola, 73 in Gulf Breeze, 72 in Milton. Let's get a look at our market report.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Vice President Kamala Harris is calling for raising the corporate tax rate to 28%. It is her first major proposal to raise revenues and finance expensive plans she wants to pursue as president. Harris referred to the policy as a fiscally responsible way to put money back in the pockets of working people and ensure billionaires and big corporations pay their fair share. Travelers may have finally had enough, with revenge travel over and pandemic savings depleted. Travelers say they're planning fewer trips this summer or skipping their vacations altogether. The close of the second quarter earnings season showed that major companies such as Marriott, Wyndham, Airbnb, and more are expecting travel demand to weaken this year as well. Futures are mixed as the S&P 500 continues its winning streak. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials gained 236, the NASDAQ up 245, and the S&P 500 up 54. That's your money now.
It is 6:36, our next news at 7. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Some candidates talk about change. While they talk, Commissioner Jeff Burgosh delivers. Real change that matters to citizens. New parks, roads, and sidewalks. More beach access. A new library and fire station. Record revenues, record property values, and higher pay for first responders. Commissioner Jeff Burgosh fights hard for the people of Escambia County and will never raise your property tax rates. Jeff has proven to be a conservative, tested, and trusted Republican leader. And he's being endorsed in this race by some of the most respected Republican in our county, including Sheriff Chip Simmons, State Representative Michelle Salzman, and Congressman Matt Gaetz. As your county commissioner, Jeff has worked tirelessly on behalf of the people of District 1 and Escambia County. On August 20th, re-elect the neighbor you know and the name you trust. Re-elect Jeff Burgosh. Read all of Jeff's endorsements, testimonials, and his strategic plan for District 1 at jeffburgosh.com. Keep leadership that delivers.
Paid for by Jeff Burgosh, Republican for Escambia County Commission.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
I can't wait for golf this weekend, huh, buddy? Time flies. Love you, man. Oh, don't forget your knee brace again. We aren't in college anymore.
Moments together matter, so help protect yourself from RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV, and there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at vaxassist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Just in time for the summer season, Piedmore Imports has new Volkswagens being delivered daily with cool savings on their most popular models. Drive the family-sized 2024 Atlas or Atlas Cross Sport with 0.9% APR for 60 months. Or take $3,500 in customer cash. The mid-sized Tiguan available now with 1.9% APR for 60 months. Or $2,500 in customer cash. And the sporty Taos crossover with the same 1.9% APR or $2,000 in customer cash. Plus, the four-door Jetta sedan with amazing fuel economy, performance, and style has $2,000 in customer cash or an APR rate of 2.9 for 60 months. This Volkswagen lineup will take you through summer with cooler savings than before at Piedmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Piedmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate for qualifying credit to PCI. See dealer for details.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Meet Brian. He just got $5,000, and it was pretty easy. I'll tell you how in 10 seconds. Brian needed cash help. After being rejected by banks, he tried 27cash.com. Told them how much he needed, even let them know he had bad credit. In minutes, 27cash.com found a lender who deposited $5,000 into his bank account the very next day. If you need cash help, even if you have bad credit, go to 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
Hi neighbors, I'm Colton Wright, your current Santa Rosa County Commissioner for District 5. Thank you for allowing me to serve you for the past 4 years. Public safety has always been my first priority, and I've made sure our sheriff's deputies have the pay and equipment they deserve. I've worked hard to improve our roads and infrastructure, improve our parks, supported Whiting Field, and I brought new jobs to our area. I'll continue to use common sense and build strong relationships that benefit all of Santa Rosa County. Please re-elect me, Colton Wright, on August 20th.
Paid for and approved by Colton Wright for Santa Rosa County Commissioner, District 5.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Give Cornel West credit for is sometimes he has very interesting and compelling things to say. Sometimes he's just really good at saying things in a way that sounds compelling and interesting. And that's a skill. I mean, he's a, you know, he's a very motivational speaker, and, you know, give the man credit where the credit is due. He was working up the crowd. He was the rock star. 5 minutes on the stage and he got them very, very excited. This is a man who's been preaching to the choir and to the not choir for years and decades, and he's very, very good at it.
It's precisely this moral power, this spiritual power, that allows us to straighten our backs up and say, no to genocide, a Democratic Party. Shame on you. You're accommodating yourself to empire. Shame on you. You're accommodating yourself to organized greed. Shame on you. You weaponizing hatred. And then people have the nerve to say, we are the haters.
So we found our protest. We finally got our one. There will be more every day, I'm sure, this week. But compared to in Milwaukee for the RNC, where there was, you can't say there were none, but there were probably less than, I think in total over the 4 days, less than 50 people who were even doing any kind of anything you could even remotely call protesting. This was serious protesting. This was signs provided by the organizers. Pick them up off the ground. Select the one you like. Do you like laser eyes Joe Biden saying Democrats fund the genocide of Palestinians with Tony Blinken, Secretary of State, and Kamala Harris, Vice President, with equal laser evil eyes? Do you like Genocide Joe's legacy, the Butcher of Gaza, end the aid to Israel? That was another sign that we saw. You know, again, that the signs were available. Do you prefer ones that say end aid to Israel? Do you prefer ones that say stop police crimes and free them all? Because, you know, all lives matter, or, you know, police are evil. Do you prefer every day more children die, stop funding genocide, honk for a ceasefire, stop arming Israel's genocide? You get the tone, okay? By the way, when they were all done and they had marched on to their other location, there were a lot of signs left over, which the sanitation workers collected and threw in the back of the trash truck and drove off with. So a lot of waste made in the process. But again, that's, you know, neither here nor there. That's very normal for these kinds of things. I did interview several protesters, and I wanted to give you a chance to hear directly from them. And keep in mind that my role in all of this, particularly interviewing the protesters, I didn't feel was to confront them or challenge them or fight with them. I just wanted to interview them and let them have their say and then let you hear from them. I very much believe in listening to the people that you disagree with. You don't have to always fight with everybody just because you disagree with them. And so here were a couple of the interviews that I did. The first one.
We're here with, what's your name?
Charlie DeGraves.
And Charlie, why are you here?
Oh, I'm here just to protest against the ongoing legacy of genocide and colonialism perpetrated by the U.S. government and just the West in general all over the world. Yeah.
So your main motivation is about Israel or in general across the world? Or
I would say in general. I think Palestine is a wonderful encapsulation of the struggle against imperialism and colonialism and oppression just in general. But I think that, you know, there are many manifestations of it across the world, including here with indigenous people in the U.S. and Canada. people in Latin America, Africa, all around the world. And I think this is a great manifestation of that movement.
And you feel like the Democratic Party is aligned with you, or you're trying to shape them in a different direction?
They're definitely not aligned with us. They have a regime, the vast majority of the Democratic Party, with a very few exceptions, is adamantly in favor of continuing the U.S. legacy as a colonial empire. And so to stop that and cease the oppression and colonization of black and brown communities across the world, we need to shift the Democratic Party in a different direction or, frankly, abandon them altogether.
Now, are you from here or did you come here from somewhere else?
I'm from Kalamazoo, Michigan, so pretty close. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Very good. So you came for the whole week?
Oh, I don't really know at this point. I'm here today, but I'm not sure I might stay longer. Yep. Right.
Very good. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you.
So colonialism, the oppression of the world, America is operating as a colonial empire power, and they need to be stopped. And
I have a question about that.
Yeah, go on.
You can answer.
I'll try.
I've never talked to anybody and delved into it deeper. But colonialism usually means you are taking over an area and you're trying to...
You made it a colony.
You're making it a colony.
The United States were, before they were the United States, they were a colony of Great Britain. They paid taxes. They did not get representation. Britain set the policy and took the wealth. Yeah, so that's a colony.
So which countries are we colonizing?
Shh, stop.
I'm asking you. You have the answers, Andrew.
We operate, I think what they would say is we don't operate as an actual colonizer in the open. We act as a subversive, behind-the-scenes colonizer because we support oppression in these countries. We benefit politically and economically from the oppression of the indigenous peoples in these areas who mine the lithium.
Like a puppet colonizer.
Yeah, mine the lithium or sell us the oil. We set policy in these areas and we don't admit it. We are certainly not the liberators and protectors of democracy around the world. We are the CIA does our work all over, and, you know, Americans don't think too much about it because you just don't know enough about foreign policy. Something along those lines.
Yeah.
It's not the British Empire of old where everything was out in the open and honest about the enslavement and oppression. It's the American Empire of new, which is much more secretive.
Empire.
Yeah, it says it's a liberator, a democracy, a source for freedom, and a giver of autonomy and independence. But we all know that's really a sham.
The shadow.
That's right. I think that's how they would say it. We'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
Well, no accidents to let you know about this morning. I-10, I-110 flowing very smoothly. Traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So back to the interviews that I did yesterday. That was one. I'm probably not going to get to the one I really want to share with you today. We'll see if we have time later. But I'll play it on Wednesday. It's okay. They're still in there. I'm not going to not play it. I talked to a guy who was from Panama City and one of the chief organizers of the Communist Party in America there. It was a really interesting interview.
Red meat.
Okay, so that was Charlie DeGrace. He was a white guy, blonde guy from Kalamazoo, Michigan. This is Nadine Seiler. She's a black lady from, I forget where she's from, but I ask her here.
We're here with what's your name?
Nadine Seiler.
And Nadine, are you from Chicago?
I am from Waldorf, Maryland, the DMV.
And you traveled here just for this?
I traveled here for this.
I hear a bit of an accent. Are you Caribbean?
My original shithole country is Trinidad and Tobago.
Okay, all right. How long have you been in the United States?
October 31st will make it 37 years.
Oh, so a little while.
Yes, it's been a while.
So you're here today at a demonstration. What are you here for?
I am here to bring the message of Project 2025 and Agenda 47 and be in solidarity with all these groups that are a coalition that is my tribe.
And I'm sorry, just to be clear, you're against the Project 2025.
I am against. Because there's a poll that was done that said 51% of the American population have heard of it.
Okay.
So I'm here to make sure the next 49% hear of it, before November 5th.
Okay. Yeah. And so, given the choice between Trump and Harris, are you satisfied with Harris as an alternative because it would help thwart 2025?
Right. So I am a democracy coalition.
Okay.
So I am voting for democracy. It's Project 2025 and Agenda 47 versus democracy.
I got you.
So right now, I am dealing with democracy. Once democracy wins, I will go on to say, let's build a tea party. All these young people here, all these brilliant young people here, let them get together and form and build a viable tea party. If they build it, I will come.
Well, thank you for the time. Is there anything else you want to say?
Participate. I'm glad that they're here participating, because the reason why we have gotten what we have gotten in America is because we don't participate in the process. So these people are participating. While I don't agree with them boycotting the elections, they are participating. So it's a step towards progress that a lot of us are out here. But you have to work within the system that you have. Agitate, but agitate with common sense and with knowledge.
Well, thank you for the time.
Thank you, my dear.
And by the way, one of the things I do want to make sure I convey is that the people that I talked to, some did not want to talk to me. That's totally their right. I don't understand why, if you're traveling all across the country to come to a protest and have your voice heard, that when a guy on a radio show offers to let your voice be heard, you say no. But that's, people make weird choices. That's fine. The people that I did talk to were super friendly, engaged, I think often misinformed, like in her case, thinking that Project 2025 is somehow the representation of the Republican Party or of Trump. That's false. But she cares. She's passionate. She wants people to participate, and she believes in democracy. And what she views as a threat to democracy, she's working to oppose, which is the essence of political participation. And, you know, you heard her mention that the people who are the protesters, they are boycotting the election largely because they view Harris as an echo of Biden, who is himself just the same as Trump on the issues that really matter, the military-industrial complex, colonizers, oppression, genocide, and exploitation around the world. And, you know, but again, very friendly, kind, decent people. There was no violence in this particular, you know, group. There was a little bit of breaking of the rules later on, but, you know, certainly nothing that we saw. And then last one, just for now, because it gives you a, again, I tried to get as much of a variety of people as I could find. This is Jorge Gutierrez.
So we're here with, what's your name?
Jorge Gutierrez, part of the Mi Gente National Latino Organization.
And yeah, what is the yellow shirts? What is your organization here for?
We're here in support of, you know, the demand for a free Palestine and to demanding the government to stop, you know, giving funding to the military in Israel.
When you look at the choice between Harris or Biden, do you view Harris as an improvement over Biden or more of the same?
I think we see her as a target. Like, we're organizers. That's the work that we do. And so with her, we know that we can push her even more.
Okay.
And with Trump, we know that that door is completely closed off.
Okay, so you feel like you have a chance to persuade her or have your voice heard?
Yeah, to push her to demand for more and to ask more of her in the Democratic Party.
And if you could accomplish anything, if you could get one request or demand met, what do you think it would be?
I think one is, you know, giving more legalization to immigrants in this country and the war in Israel. I think that those are two huge accomplishments that we would see.
And just in terms of being here at the protest, what do you feel like this accomplishes for your goals or for your group?
I think it gives a really strong statement to the Democratic Party that they got to listen to working class people if they want their party to be stronger.
Great. And are you from here or did you travel here?
I traveled here. I'm based in Los Angeles.
Oh, wow. And you came for the whole week?
Yes.
Great. Thank you so much.
Okay, of course.
And that was a theme. I met people from Chicago, but I met a lot of people from other places. So, and again, I am a big believer in listening to other people. You don't have to always argue with them. I always try to understand where people are coming from and, you know, make sense of their view. That doesn't threaten me. And I figure, you know, if it threatens you to listen to what other people think, then you might want to reconsider how well you even understand your own position. Because if you cannot refute or respond to what other people think based on understanding what, you know, if you have to mischaracterize them, which was a theme in the speeches, was mischaracterizing the Republicans and Trump consistently. If you have to mischaracterize people, then that indicates that you're being dishonest about your beliefs, or you don't really understand them or don't understand your opponent's beliefs. So, you know, I've found it interesting to talk to these people who have very different beliefs from I have. But again, all of whom seem to me to be basically citizens who are participating in the process of selecting the next president of the United States, which is absolutely core First Amendment constitutional privilege. 6:55 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. We've got John Pickens back in Pensacola with traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents still to let you know about, but we are starting to see some delays on I-10 eastbound right around Highway 29, just sheer volume of traffic there. So just be advised of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
So I know sometimes people think, like, I'll just sell the home myself, or I'll just buy it myself, and they don't want to use a realtor. I understand, okay? But let me give you some thoughts about why maybe it's useful to go to a realtor, especially one as great as Christina Leavenworth. Okay, obviously you know that she sells a lot of homes, 175 homes last year. You hear me talking about her all the time. When the market was hot and it was very easy to sell homes, she could help you by getting the best possible deal as quickly as possible. When the market is slow, more like it is now, when people are uncertain about interest rates or when they're not sure what's going to happen with that market or the economy or the election or anything else, or, you know, what affects the price of the home? Is it change of station for the military? Are we in season or not for that? What about for, you know, school, things like that? And even understanding, like, what could happen near that home, behind that home, or even with a new home, you might think, why would I use a realtor for that? Because they can get the builder to buy down your points, for example, and work with you because builders are motivated. The point is, having a realtor gets you the best of all possible outcomes. And Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty are phenomenal. 723-9158, or look her up online, Christina Leavenworth.
Hey, checking in.
This is not just your flu shot appointment at Walgreens.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
This is getting your entire family vaccinated in one trip.
Hey, Mom.
And a snack on the way out. Get flu shots for everyone in your family, together. Schedule appointments online today. This is wellness made easy. Walgreens.
Vaccine subject to availability and for ages 3+. State and health-related restrictions may apply.
Hello, I'm Jason English, candidate for Santa Rosa County Clerk of Court and Comptroller. The Clerk of Court is the hub of our justice system and vital to Santa Rosa County. I have 18 years experience as attorney to the clerk and former prosecutor. I'll protect our official records while preserving transparency and accountability. I'll safeguard county tax dollars as your comptroller using efficiency and fiscally conservative policies. I'm Jason English, asking for your vote on August 20th. Thank you.
Paid for and approved by Jason English, Republican, Santa Rosa County Clerk of Court and Comptroller.
The Florida Department of Health in Escambia County works to protect, promote, and improve the health of everyone in your community. Listen in today at 10:30 to the Pensacola Expert Panel when Director Marie Mott will give a public health update. That's today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
I'm Sam Parker. I was born and raised in Santa Rosa County, and now I'm raising my children here. I voted for lower taxes, new roads with sidewalks and better intersections, protections for our natural resources, more playgrounds, and pay raises for our first responders. Faith, family, and freedom are my core values. Please vote for me, Sam Parker, so I can keep working for Santa Rosa County.
Paid and approved by Sam Parker for Santa Rosa County Commissioner, District 1 Republican.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Newfan, Kevin Robbins, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
6:59 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay with Bobby Rossi. We are in Chicago. David Wayne is in Pensacola with our headlines. David?
Well, former Republican Congressman George Santos now facing at least 2 and possibly up to 7 years in prison. In court yesterday, he pleaded guilty to multiple felony counts, including wire fraud and aggravated identity theft. Also ordered to pay more than $200,000 in restitution.
It's primary day. Go vote if you haven't voted yet.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP.